Hello and welcome
that
to
stinks, man. Fuck.
Yeah. Hello and welcome to episode 98 of the Flames Fancast. We are coming at you with a lot to discuss today because the trade deadline is passed. The roster looks quite different. Our playoff chances look quite different. And I think the vibe around the team is quite
playoffs? Different. Playoff chances? Playoffs?
Maybe they were the same, but
you're
talking
about the playoffs?
Tanev, for Grushnikov.
Actually, let me interrupt you. I forgot to... Let's take a moment to remember Chris Simon. He passed away today. He was a part of that great Flames playoff run.
Yeah.
And he served a big purpose in that. He was the enforcer. He was the guy. And he actually had some points. And
he fit right into that system that we were trying to do. He was the exact kind of guy that we needed.
Perfect piece to the puzzle in that run.
And sounds like the tributes for him are, very heartfelt and
pouring in.
Sad. Sad story, sad situation. We don't know what happened, but just gone too soon, obviously. And
as always the case.
I totally forgot about that. You mentioned that to me today, but
I forgot to remind you.
Today was just a whirlwind crazy
day. Yeah, you're
day.
Busy today.
Yeah.
How often can you say that?
I forgot to put Simon on the agenda, but I'm glad you remembered that.
Yeah.
I know. I guess since we're here, thank you for listening. That I should say.
Yeah, to say now.
At the beginning.
Not later.
Yeah, so we appreciate that. Thanks for being here. Thanks for sticking with us. Still, we got a lot to unpack, so here we go. Tanev first. Tanev for Grushnikov, a second, and a conditional third.
I mean, that value was good to me.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't think he got... If Conroy got better, he would have done better. But
I agree.
I think that was...
Well,
I expected
Oilers,
the
Oilers
second
fans
round,
are saying we're offering a first, but...
Yeah, your first is useless to us after you cheated the system.
It was a first with Cody Ceci and you retained some salary, yada, yada, yada. No thanks.
No thanks. We're not going to make you guys any better either. You guys go fuck yourselves.
Amen.
Hopefully you crash and burn out the first round.
We'll see. The West is kind of... shaking up a bit funny now.
It's between them and Colorado in the West.
Yeah, Colorado is getting hot at the right time, so.
Yeah.
Who won the Colorado-Edmonton game the other day? It was Edmonton.
I wasn't paying attention.
Colorado, I think, wasn't it, in overtime?
I'll check, but I wasn't paying attention.
Hanifin for a 2025 first, a conditional third in 2025, and Miromanov.
You tell me first what you think.
This one
had real hit or miss reviews by the fans.
Initially, when I saw it, I thought, good deal. I mean, it's a first round pick plus a guy that we're playing.
Avalanche won an OT, by the way.
Yeah, I remember that. A first round pick plus a guy that we're playing, and that's to my later point that I'm going to talk about, but I'm not at all upset about that deal. I think that's as good as you were going to get for Hanifin, a first, a player, and a conditional third. I like it.
Remind me, did he commit to re-signing with
Vegas? I don't think he's re-signed.
I didn't see anything
yet,
like that. Okay.
Lindholm hasn't signed. Tanev hasn't signed. Yeah, I've said that forever. So I don't think Vancouver really likes Lindholm, to be honest. You see that GM coming out and they say, oh, what about the extension for Lindholm? Oh, we'll see. We'll see. You're never kind of that lukewarm on a player that you want to keep.
And we didn't. It wasn't long ago that we actually gave Hunter. Blah, 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 I can't say his last name.
Yeah,
but we gave him a professional contract.
Yeah,
so he signed. So any fears of that were quelled pretty quick. I agree with you. It's weird that Vancouver's kind of not weird, I guess, because he's not really performing. But it was weird from a wow. You guys really got cold on him quick. You didn't really give him a chance.
I mean, maybe you look at that with Kuzmenko, too, and we can get into that a bit, but you know how the Flames, there's all that noise, and they talk about the impact of the trade deadline on the players. I mean, you think about Lindholm's situation, the rumor that comes out that you could get flipped for Gunsel. Man, that's got to mess with you. Got traded, and then you're going to get traded again by the team that acquired you on the deadline to cash in on another prospect. That's pretty wild.
What's that saying to your self-worth at that point? Not that he cares about his bank account, but he's probably wow, I just got here. What the fuck?
I'd be amazed if this guy gets that $9 million contract that he was hoping for with the Flames, right?
I would be not at this point.
Amazed if that happens in the summertime.
Maxi gets seven.
I could see like someone paying seven.
I could see mid sevens. But I mean, to track back on the trade for Hanifin, like I liked it. There was like a flurry of activity on Calgary Puck because their resident rumor spreaders who have decent links to the Flames. At one point, people were, you know, hoping for, you know, more prospects, first rounders, all that stuff. They were hoping for a big package. And I have to admit, I got caught up in the mania there too. But, you know, I was at first a little bit disappointed with the trade. And then I kind of just had like an hour to like simmer on it. And I was like, you know what? This was pretty good. Because, again, Hanifin gave no guarantee of re-signing to Vegas. So automatically that value diminishes, right? Because they may lose him. Right? Because you may have that situation where, you know, he was rumored to go to Florida, right? He was rumored to go to Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
And those rumors probably have smoke to them. So he might be like, well, I'll ride this Vegas wave. If they make the finals or even win the thing, great. And then I'll just make my exit to Florida. Counter, he makes his exit to Florida anyhow, even if they get knocked out. So who cares, right? So I think under that circumstance, we got a lot of value out of it. Plus, it's the 2026 draft pick that got us, that got me over the hump.
I don't know if it's 2026. Or it's 2025, man.
No. Because they traded away 2025.
Are you sure?
100%.
Okay. The thing I looked at today said 2025.
No, the original trade was for the 2025. But if they,
who did they trade that one to then? San Jose. And then somehow we got a 2026?
Yeah, because the condition was that if they didn't keep it after the trade deadline and they finished certain places in the standings, we don't get the 2025. We keep the 2025, don't get the 2026. But because they traded away the 2025, we get the 2026 now.
Okay.
And I'm hoping by then they suck.
Yeah.
And then we can get Gavin McKenna, who's supposed to be next coming of Christ.
Okay.
Better than McDavid.
Well, we're not going to get
better that. Than McKinnon and McDavid combined.
Okay, I don't know about that. But just our luck, we're never going to get a first overall pick. We're never going to win a cup. All these bad things are going to happen.
And now, as I said all this, I'm definitely fact-checking myself, so you can fill the air with the...
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty happy with the return. That seems like a...
Yeah, we did. So 2026, we have it.
Okay, that's
confirmed on capfriendly.com.
Wildly optimistic that Vegas, they'll suck, but I mean, it's possible. But generally, I'm happy with that return. I mean, Miramanov is obviously there's a bedding in period for all those D who are coming over. There's going to take some time for them to get here and settle in and adapt to the system. But I mean, basically, when I talk about all these trades and the fact that Conroy's going out and getting these kind of prospects that he wants and, you know, maybe getting Kuzmenko, and he's making a trade for Ochuk and Miramanov, like maybe he has scouted these guys and thinks they have potential.
I do think
these
there's
are the kind of guys he wants to go for.
There's
right?
a huge reliance on our scouting team right now. You can tell for sure. Like we're getting guys that like everyone's like, oh, well, these stats aren't very good, but it's like, that's the untrained fan's eye.
Yeah.
And, you know, Conroy even addressed it in some of those interviews after the trades. He'd be like, yeah, I know his stats don't look great, but he's got the tools that we want.
Well, that's exactly what you need, is that you need to, and be coming in and being like, gee, the GM picked me because I've got X, Y, and Z attributes, even though my numbers might not be up to snuff. That's got to be a confidence booster. And a lot of these guys that he's getting is kind of putting a new imprint on the team, which I like. And whether it's good or bad, it's just the action in and of itself is good, where he's getting this opportunity to kind of diamonds in the rough, if you will. They're not exactly that, but, you know, they're players who are not quite given the opportunity to get huge minutes on a team like Vegas or power play time or anything like that. But I mean, just like the ability that we're going out there and we're choosing what we're getting. before the draft, and we've identified some prospects that we like, and hopefully we can turn them into something valuable NHL assets that we can use.
Well, we certainly have enough picks and assets now to trade up for Tage Iginla.
Well, I don't think he's... I mean...
I think they're going to go for him.
I don't think it's any secret. I don't think it's too much of a stretch to trade up for him in that many places.
No, I don't think so.
The last projection I looked at was he was going 11th.
Yeah, and like I think even... Maybe even where we place, we might even just get that.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, right? Maybe they don't want to take that risk. I mean, I don't know how the draft works and how much... I really don't know how much each player is going to reveal their hand, or each GM is going to reveal their hand, or how friendly they are in terms of each other moving up. You know, you remember when, what's-his-face, Brian Burke did the whole Sedin thing.
Yeah.
Right? But that's a lot of assets that you trade to get those guys, so...
Well, I mean, Iginla, Tij's like younger brother is also crushing it in the dub. Like he played his max, I think 5 games, and he got 5 points out of it when I checked the stats. And apparently he's a bit more, from like the reports I read, he's more physical. Like he has more potential to be physical. He's like 5'10" and like 170 pounds.
He's what, 16?
He's 15.
Yeah.
And he's already 5'9 or 5'10, and he's like 160 pounds, which is sizable for a 15, 16-year-old, right? So all I'm trying to say is that, like, you know, you brought up the Sedin twins. Like, I could see us trying to make a push for both the Iginlas at some
point. Well, the draft year is going to be later on, right?
I think he's 2027. It's just
But Tij is this year, so I think we should be going for that kind of guy. You know, another... Perhaps marquee forward, a guy who can get you some goals, a bona fide goal scorer. The hardest thing to do in hockey, score goals. So hopefully we can get him and fit him in. I mean, his dad works for the team, so
it's going to help.
That should help.
Yeah. And but on the flip side, it's like other teams know that like we value that pick. So they can try to leverage against us.
Theoretically speaking, let's say you got to trade up 2 spots. What's the ask?
I mean, you're obviously taking back one of Calgary's firsts.
Yeah. Minimum. Oh, yeah. Okay. So but let's say we give 13th for the 11th pick, and what?
It's probably a fifth. Probably a fourth, or maybe even a third. I think you can ask for a third, knowing that if the Flames really want this guy. I mean, not that a third is going to really amount to anything, but you get 2 picks for the price of one. You're 3 places lower, let's say, in that scenario. Like, who cares?
Maybe you're not married to, you know, drafting Iginla because you know
maybe
he wants to go somewhere else, right?
Yeah, that's fair.
And maybe you say, you know what, I could do this, and I'd love to see Calgary's first for the 11th first and future considerations. God, I'd love it.
Bag of pucks trick. Oh, yeah,
make it happen, Conroy. But that'll be an interesting draft. That's for sure.
For sure.
And
I mean, we have some exciting drafts.
We finally have some picks.
We have some exciting drafts coming up for sure. Wow. Yeah, we have a ton of picks now, and we might even trade for more picks in the summer.
Yeah, and I mean, but who?
Maybe Markstrom, right? I know it's in the agenda here, but
What else was I going to say? I just want some resolution to that Monahan Montreal thing too.
Well, I mean, so kind of to track back, I did mention about our first, and if we place, maybe we end up getting the pick that we need for Tij anyway, but. Pretty sure that's this year's first round pick. That's the conditional one.
Yeah.
With Montreal. So I still am not entirely clear.
Well, I think they can get Florida's, right? Because we got Florida's first round pick.
Right.
They can get that one, can't they?
I think so.
If Florida's is in like the 20 to 32 bracket, they get that.
Yeah, but the Florida's like second in the East.
Yeah, but no, yeah. I mean, they could drop out of the playoffs, right? And then. I don't mean drop out of the playoffs. I mean lose in the first round.
Yeah, yeah. But, no, I know what you mean.
Yeah, I don't know. I just want it resolved.
Yeah, I think at some point, though, like, I think we have a half-decent chance of being in the realm of where Tij is going to go.
Yeah, no, right? This year,
I think we could put it that way.
Yeah.
Right? Or at least we'll have enough firepower to trade for it.
Speculation, baby. Speculate. Listen, let's shift gears a bit, and let's talk about overall, since the trade deadline... The play of the club. I mean, we had those 3-game loss. We came back with some big wins. We lost to Washington last night.
That was a tough one to watch.
Yeah.
I don't think Washington played well at all. I think we just played poorly. We couldn't score, generate. We looked almost akin to how the Flames were after Hanifin left. I know they won the first game after he left, but then they lost handedly the next 2-3 games after that. Like, and those were score lines that looked like blowouts at one point. Like, they're going to be like ugly double digit type blowouts. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So yeah, like, but I think we're kind of normalized now. It feels like the guys that we acquired are starting to understand the system, are starting to understand our style of play, and understanding like each other. I felt like Huska was doing too much of a blender thing for the first 3-4 games since Hanifin left, but I think they found some footing now. They've been putting Marin Manov on like the first power play.
Yeah.
They've been putting him up with, you know, either Uyghur. I think I've seen him with Anderson a couple times. Yeah. But then now I think Shillington's kind of got that partnership with him.
Yeah, Shillington, Anderson. Yeah.
And Marin Manov looks pretty good, man. Like, I'm not saying he's replaced Hanifin by any means, but guy's got 2 goals in his 5-6 games with us already. He looks pretty good defensively. I mean, he's had some gaps there, but
I mean, I feel
overall he's pretty good.
I feel like that ability to find that budget player who can fit in, you know, and overperform their salary.
Totally.
That's what you really need. Well, it's a good time to be doing that now, but it's also a good time to be doing that, say, 5 years, and by some miracle we're, you know, back at the top and we're making a run. If you have a GM who can identify those guys that absolutely fit the needs of the club.
And they're not going to command you $5-6 million a year, right?
No, and the salary cap, you keep it under the cap, right? And you've got those holes filled with guys who fit in perfectly. And I guess it's easier to say that now because a guy like Miro Manov is going to play because we don't have anybody else.
No, that's fair. I mean, that's fair. I mean, like, I was wondering if there was an off chance that they would call up Hunter at this point, but it would.
That
it
seems
to me,
like
it's a waste.
Big stretch.
It's also a waste of a year. I would say, right?
Yeah.
Because I don't think. I think it would be a waste of a year. I think you would burn that. So, I don't know if there's a league or a game minimum for that, but.
Well, some teams do that to kind of show a bit of, I guess, loyalty to a player. Right? We're going to burn a year for you so that you can start earning the money because you're going to be playing for us. But
I mean, we did that with Goudreau.
Goudreau's a bona fide guy.
Yeah, 100%.
That's happening for.
Yeah.
I don't know if this, the Hunter,
Berkowitz, I don't know.
I don't know
Maybe
if that's
Berkowitz,
him.
Maybe not Berkowitz, sorry.
But.
Son of Sam.
I just don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. But I think, to reiterate your point, I think it does seem like we have, like, the one thing that I've been bitching and complaining about for, like, years now is that it feels like we don't have a plan. But now I feel like at least
we
Conroy
executed the plan.
Yeah. I mean, look, I kind of view the Flames as like you imagine a table and like a 1,000-piece puzzle set, right? And I think right now Conroy's kind of putting together, like, I think most people start puzzles by trying to find the edges first, right?
Right.
And you kind of build into it. So I
puzzle
think
Master Jank over here.
Yeah. And I think what's happening is the pieces and the draft picks that we got are part of that whole framework, you know,
right,
part of the puzzle. And I'm pretty proud to see that it looks like we are utilizing the scouting team, because perhaps maybe they were getting ignored for some time too, because it didn't look like we were really doing a good job for a few years there. But now we're at a point where I feel like, okay, this is a good footing. And I will now argue against what we were saying last podcast. This is a rebuild to me. It's not a retooling. They can call it a retooling all they want, but if you name me the core players and the guys that left, this is a rebuild. This is an absolute rebuild, because you lost pretty much all your core pieces, less 2 guys that you have to keep, right? In Kadri and Huberto.
Okay,
so I don't
span of 2 years.
Right, but I'm saying that Kadri is a core piece. I'm not considering Huberto that right now because he's just not doing it for us.
Right.
And then you got Uyghur and Anderson. And then maybe and Markstrom, like, if he wants to stay. So really, you only have 4 guys.
But, I mean, I kind of disagree because this is not a full rebuild, because I guess when I look at a full rebuild, I look at teams like Anaheim, San Jose, Chicago, who just suck.
Yeah, but they still got, like, guys that they're going to count on.
Like who?
Well, who's San Jose going to count on? I guess they traded the my example. But
I mean, and Chicago is going to count on Bedard, I guess. But of course, you're rebuilt. But they
yeah,
just,
but like this
I can't
is,
name anyone else in their team other than Bedard.
What I'm saying is, this is a rebuild for the Flames. It's not a retool.
Yeah, but I mean, I guess there's still that rebuild in this fact that we always want to maintain a competitive product. But that's never going to allow us to fully rebuild.
But your core players, by the time you get your assets, guys are going to end up maturing and playing better in the NHL. Like, let's say the next 3 years are going to be your next wave of core guys, of like two draft picks and all that. By the time those guys start maturing and realizing their potential, the guys that we're talking about right now that are core guys are either going to be gone, right? Markstrom's likely gone. After his contract's
and I mean,
up.
And I mean like, yeah, he's gone. He might
gonna
be gone in the summer.
Right.
Huberto's here forever. Huberto's
going to be 38 by the time these guys start maturing, so he's not going to be useful. Kadri's going to be 37 or whatever. Not going to be useful by then. I hope he is, right? But then Anderson, I don't know, right? Are we going to be able to keep him by the time that happens? Are we going to be able to keep... I mean, that's it. There's no other guys. Like, you got... You got guys like hopefully like Zeri start growing into their potential. Like he clearly was showing that before he got injured.
Yeah.
Hopefully Pelletier starts kicking in. Like he got sent down to the A today, but that's, I mean, that's part of the process of growing right now. Coronado, although started playing a bit better, still kind of tapered off last game. Hopefully he does something. And then you got Poirier, Emile Poirier, the defender that we have, who's had really good seasons in the AHL. Hopefully he does. But I guess what I'm saying is you don't really have anyone to rely on right now other than those three, four guys. And one of which I think he's kind of turned off by this club right now in Markstrom.
Yeah, well...
There's enough smoke, at least
for me,
to
there's
see
kind
that.
Of a new players are emerging giving that chance that Sarangovic.
Totally.
What opportunities he's taken this year. I mean, great deal for getting this guy over to Toffoli. Toffoli got shipped out of... New Jersey to Winnipeg, right?
Yep.
I mean,
that's kind of what I like. So Sharangovic has, like, he's got pedigree here to stay and be a good player for us for sure. But I think we've been caught in this trap before where a guy will have like a good year and then we blow the bank on them and then they suck.
Yeah, but
right?
At the same time, we haven't done that for players like Mangiapane.
We did well with that.
Yeah.
Hard
regression this year.
Yeah.
But how are you supposed to know with a guy like Huberto and Uyghur, right?
Totally.
Even Kadri to an extent.
But Kadri's been one of our best players.
I agree, but...
Like that
I
line...
I feel like last year we were handcuffed into doing that, and this year we're doing it differently, and I feel like... I don't know. Our cap situation is going to look quite different in a couple years.
And I will die on this. So Pospisil is looking like one of our better players. I know you and I argued about this, but like, and I know you like him, but I'm just saying that
I like him.
The guy has the tools to be a complete fucking stud for us.
I wouldn't go so far as like, define stud. What's a stud season?
So I'm saying like, I see him as like a Diet Kachuk. And that's a stud for me.
How many points in a year?
I could see him capping out at like 80.
Yeah. If Pospisil gets 80 points a year, I'm over the moon.
Well, hopefully
over
happens.
The moon.
Give me 5 years on that.
Deal. But I'd be ecstatic. I'll eat my words.
I love him for numerous things. Number one, he can score. He's got good hands. He's physical. He has good vision. He can pass. He knows how to, like, and he's smart. He's got a high IQ. There's a reason why when that line, like him, Kadri, and fill in the blank, right, are on the ice, they actually are controlling the play. More times than not, they have the puck in the offensive zone, and they mesh, and he reads players really well.
Yeah.
And before Zeri got injured, that was our best line. Like, obviously, Backlund, Coleman, that's a great line too, but those guys were something different. They were also exciting. Like, Kadri will do his, like, little chip of the puck in the air and, like, bounce over and meg guys and shit. Like, he's kind of playing like he's...
That excitement factor is that, and also that surprise factor. They have that
well,
thing.
They do.
And they have that component.
And absolutely. And, like...
That's been missing from a lot of Flames teams, a lot of Flames lines.
Exactly. And that, to me, is the reason why I have a lot of hope for him. And I think when Zeri's back, he's even better. because Zeri's a good player.
I don't disagree. I think they're great players. I just don't think he's a point per game player.
Oh, well, we'll get him there.
If he is, I'm very happy. But I
this
just
might be one of my all time worst predictions. But I don't care.
I just can't.
Like, I think he's
I just
great.
Can't see it.
He just needs to curb the dirtiness a little bit. Like, he needs to know how to like tread the line. Kachuk was immense at that. He knows how to tread the line.
Well, he's learning his way. I mean, I was at the game where he smoked Vince Dunn. Dude, it was bad. It was bad. And then I looked at it, I'm like, oh, man.
Yeah, that was bad.
It's a bad hit.
I mean, I'm not laughing at
But I also heard people defend him. I heard people say, you know, what's he supposed to do there? What is he supposed to do? Because he's coming in, he's trying to make a name for himself, and these defensemen are putting themselves in these situations. Like, you're 3 feet from the boards, your back's to the boards, you're facing...
And you're kind of
bent
over.
What do you think is going to happen?
And you're bent over,
This is the NHL, and I totally get that argument, but at the same time, just the eye test, seeing that hit, I was like, Jesus.
Yeah, he can pull back.
Yeah.
He can pull back.
But...
All right. But why? But again, listen, why should he, right? Go for the puck. But maybe there was a way to do it without the way he did it, right? Like, you can kind of...
Honestly, I feel like kind of caress the guy.
3 games
was harsh. Because there's a good chunk that says Dunn puts himself in that position and you need to play aware, right? It's just like those open ice hits that you never see anymore. Guy puts his head down, bang.
Yeah.
And then when those things happen and you see that on the ice, you think, oh, it's bad. It's because you got smoked. But you've got your head down, and the guy skates into you, and the shoulder's right into the chin there, right? Right to the head. But you can't do that. You can't. It's like you play any sport, you know? We played a lot of soccer together. And you get mad at someone. That's a suicide pass, man. You're putting me in a situation where I got to go into that, and I'm getting hurt because it's a suicide pass. And you can do the same in hockey, right? Those kinds of pass, and it puts you in a bad spot. But there has to be an awareness. It's a physical game. There has to be that. I mean, it was a bad hit, but 3 games, I don't know.
I mean,
I think 1 game.
I kind of look at those, yeah. But I look at his prior infractions too. And like, you kind of, again, I agree with you. Eye test says, hey, man, like, you could have done a little bit different there. But in real time, In the heat of the moment, he's a player, competitive, trying to get the puck. Now, could you not hit the guy and maybe like caress the guy from behind? Or maybe...
What if he's Dunn's turning?
But that's what I'm saying.
Your back
because,
is fully to the puck. It's just dumb.
But the other thing is, like, there are players that go into those positions and they know they're going to get banged from behind. Like, and they keep, and they just get banged and banged. And then, but guys like Kachuk, for example, they do that, like they stick their ass out or they kind of kind of hip move because they know they're about to get banged.
That reverse hitting was on the GM agenda.
If someone just tuned in right now and they're hearing us about banging from behind and stuff like that, I think, I mean.
That guy is banged and bang.
Banged and caressed.
But I mean, you know, as a defenseman, you a lot of the times you play the puck and you take the hit, right? You know it's coming.
Well, but that's what I'm saying. So, like,
and I mean,
what part of the onus is maybe on the guy that has the puck?
At
I'm
that
not blaming
point in the
him,
game.
But...
Flames are down. They're chasing. How do you not anticipate someone's gonna chase you and going to try to get the puck from you? Like, it's just a bit.
On the flip side, I'm thinking the guy with the puck on the boards. He's not like sitting there going like,
I don't know.
I can't wait till I get hurt and injured. You know, like these guys, their livelihood is at stake. They don't want to get injured. But I think they also, there are some guys, I'm not saying the hits that Pospisil did, but there could be some guys that play that game and they try to embellish and get a penalty out of it too.
Yeah.
That's not out of the realm of possibility. We've seen it. There are, I mean, it doesn't happen as much as in hockey as it does in soccer, let's say. But like diving and embellishing does happen in hockey too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Not very often, but. You know, I think
this
the last place, no, for sure not, for sure not. But I'm just saying that, like, you know, these guys aren't dumb. They're professionals and they're taught at a young age how to take a hit too, right? And thus, in the heat of the moment too, they could just be, forgetting that. They're focused on the puck and maybe they shouldn't be expecting someone like Pospisil coming out to them, fucking checking them to the point where it's like your head is going through the boards.
It was a bit of both, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you just can't. You can't put yourself in that compromising position like that.
But then I look at like the play on Marchand that Pospisil did that got that fucking, that I think he got a game for that.
Yeah.
And it's like, dude, that is a reputational play or a reputational call by the ref.
Right.
That has nothing to do. That was a scandal fucking call.
Okay. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Because it's Marchand, number one, who's got a history of antics, but it is Marchand, so he's got the name pedigree. Number two, it's Pospisil, a no-name guy to these referees, basically, trying to make it, has a small little history of doing the odd little, you know, questionable slash dirty thing, does that to someone like Marchand. Marchand sells it. In my opinion, he sold it.
What was it again? Remind me?
Like the stick, kind of the way he got in, it was like a bit of a can opener, but the stick got really high, and Marchand, like, dropped
he embellished.
Like a, yeah, he dropped like a sack of pucks and that was yeah, it, right? Yeah. And it's kind of like, dude, it's a nothing play, right? You show it in slow motion, it looks like Pospisil is actually trying to like hurt him.
Right.
But in real time, it's not like that.
Right.
And to me anyway, like you track back and you look at these plays and you have to kind of tell guys like Pospisil, like, look, I'm okay with you playing hard. I'm okay with you, you know, agitating, but you also got to manage your reputation with the referees.
I think that was the message from the Flames, less so about reputation management, but more so about,
but you got to watch that too.
You've got, yeah, but I don't know. I don't mind that he plays with a bit of edge. Like you got, those players exist and I don't think they should go away. And I think players should be a bit smarter about how they position their body. I mean, yeah. Nothing that he's done is grossly dirty, right? You know,
well, because the Marchand thing was like a cross check in their mind, right?
Yeah, anyway. You know, you see the slew footing, right? Slew footing into the boards and kind of Tkachuk and the reverse elbow and the things like that. To me, the Pospisil's not. Listen, if Dunn's turned the other way, that's a really clean hit.
So that's the argument, right? But because he's not facing him, he's putting himself. Yeah, I see both sides, right? I'm not saying one is right or wrong, but I'm just saying there's arguments to be made for both. But I think it leans toward Pospisil ultimately being the deciding factor of that. Because the guy is not facing you, he technically doesn't know you're behind him. So if the guy's come behind you and you're focused on the puck, the other guy behind you has two choices. He sees you and the puck.
Yeah.
So what does he go for? He's saying body then puck.
Yeah.
Right? But you gotta caress. You gotta caress.
Well,
the hit.
He's back.
Yeah. So he's back anyway, and he's playing well again.
He's staying on the big time and he's gonna be part of that core going forward.
I was a bit worried about Tom Wilson trying to do something with him, because it's not like Wilson's a clean fucking player.
Yeah.
I was a little bit worried about that because the size difference is...
But it's not like we there. Have a huge rivalry with Washington, right?
No, we
it's
don't, but it takes really... one play, man.
Yeah.
One play, one hit on Ovechkin or something, and then it's a free-for-all, right?
Yeah.
But, and Tom Wilson's got I don't think that guy is... He's got a temper.
Yeah.
Right?
Well...
And he's got a history of it, so...
He's dirty. But I guess Pospisil is a bit dirty too.
Well, I think Pospisil can hold his own. I think he would take him on if he was going to try and fight him, but he would lose. But he would, I think he'd answer the bell.
Yeah, I think so too. But hey, he's back. He's agitating. It'll be.
And he's Jenk's favorite player.
Listen, the recent play we kind of talked about, we took it a bit of a segue there, but. I think it'll be interesting to see kind of how these guys play down the stretch here, these last 15 games, when maybe playoffs start to diminish and diminish. Because when the pressure's off a little bit, maybe we start to see some, I don't know, or maybe these guys are performing well with pressure, but it took a while for us to really shake off that really, really, really garbage start. And I just think... I'm actually excited to see how we do these last 15 games and how we play and who gets the opportunities and who's really going to step up, because I think that's going to be a lot of the makeup and identity for next year.
And it'll be nice to see other players hopefully return or other players given a chance from the farm. So
yeah,
I agree with you. Like it'll be a cool
Peltier.
It'll be a cool 15 games to watch. I think like obviously playoffs is not at all a realistic possibility.
No, well, which, I mean, mathematically, but I don't think.
Which, but I mean, the reality is, like, even before the deadline, we didn't have a chance. Like, let's be real. It wasn't going to happen. But, I mean, I'm glad Wolf got these starts. I know he didn't have a great game yesterday, but in fairness to him, I think maybe one of those goals he'd want back.
Well, he's just a young player who's
But you got to keep playing him, because the only way he's going to gain some sort of consistency is if he keeps playing, right? He's got to learn, when you're facing a shot from like an Ovechkin versus some random dude in the AHL, you got to get scored on by an Ovechkin to understand what you need to do next time.
Yeah, right? I don't disagree, but what do you think about the way the future and what Conroy's thinking about here? Because Wolf had what was at least two starts in a row, if not three. I can't remember. He had at least two. But, I mean, the fact that you're starting this guy in back-to-back games, Vladar is on the bench. You've got Vladar. I agree, but is that speaking to the fact that the Flames are recognizing that perhaps Markstrom is gone, that they're looking to move Markstrom in the offseason, that they're looking to promote Wolf and give him a chance? And
I mean, I think there's a minimum games that he can't play because he has to clear waivers or something like that, or whatever it is. I don't know the rule, but or offhand anyway. But I think, yeah, I agree with you. I think they're saying, hey, Wolf, Markstrom's injured. You are part of our future plans. Let's get you playing. But you got to show yourself. You're playing with the most diminished defense we've had in years.
Yeah.
And thus, you're going to have to get used to that. But we're building a team. We're building, hopefully, a contender the next, call it, 6 years. So you need to start getting used to playing now. I'm all for it. And I think they are sending that message to him, especially by not playing. You know, essentially, they're just giving him the nod.
Yeah.
Right? And Vladar being on the bench, I think, is a telling tale, to your point. Especially on a back-to-back like that. Like, it's kind of like two games in a row, you're like, okay. But he deserved it, though. He played really well before the game against Washington.
Yeah, I agree.
He played really, really well. Right?
But, it'll be interesting to see how it shakes down, but I think...
And I don't think Vladar cares about being a backup. Chance.
I think he does.
I don't know. I don't think he does.
I think he does.
Part of me thinks that he was already talked to about it. As in, you're a backup to Markstrom, and if Wolf starts filling his potential, you're going to be a backup to him if you want to stick around. I'd say that. I'd say that all day. Vladar can't go anywhere and be a starter. Where is he going to go?
Yeah, I guess.
Right?
I guess.
I'm not saying he's bad. I'm not saying he can't be a starter, but given the makeup of the league right now, that. I don't know. I'm sure they at least talk to him about it. You have to, dude. I think in a rebuild, you have to be straight up honest with these players, because emotions are high and guys will be, they'll be unstable if you don't stay honest with them. I think the Markstrom thing maybe gave Conroy a lesson of like, wow, I got to be transparent with these guys, because I got guys that can be legitimate starters on any team in the NHL, like a Markstrom, and I just, in his mind, I treated him like he was just a fucking commodity that I have no personal relationship with. In which case, you kind of want to be that.
I really don't think the Flames treated Markstrom poorly.
No, I think the way that, like, everything was communicated was poor.
What was poor about it, man?
I think what was happening was they were close to getting a deal done with New Jersey. And then I think they may have told Markstrom, like, I think you're going to stay. And then Markstrom probably got all his stuff ready, and then he didn't end up staying. I think that's what happened.
If they told him, you think you're going to move, not stay?
I think they basically, yeah. So,
yeah,
sorry,
you
they
said
were,
I think they're going to stay.
But they were in New Jersey at the time.
So you basically think that a trade was in place and he started packing.
It was imminent, yeah.
Why would they do that?
That is the rumor that was going around.
But why would they say, you're about to be traded? It's, unless it's a done deal, why would you say anything?
Well, I think I really do think the GMs had something in place. But I think the hill that Conroy died on was Mercer from New Jersey.
They
he wanted Mercer.
Yeah.
And I think the Devils wanted to give Holtz instead.
Yeah.
And Conroy's like, absolutely not. It needs to be Mercer. And I think at some point they potentially came to an agreement. And I think Markstrom was being told while they were in New Jersey, you're staying here.
Right. Okay. Right?
And I think that's what, and then they reneged on that, obviously. So this is assuming this is all true. But I think if that happened, I could see why Markstrom's pissed. Because he'd be dude, what are you doing?
Still no. No.
I don't know. I'd be upset.
I just don't think you should tell the player until it's done.
But I think unless that's
you
the have problem.
To, unless you got to tell him because he's got a no move clause. And like, listen, we're thinking about this to moving you here. Are you willing to waive it?
But I think that was the problem.
But asking a player to waive it doesn't mean a guarantee of you're going here.
No, I know. But I think the way they communicated to him was it's a done deal.
Fuck, get over it.
Well, okay, but like, so he said that even in the interview, Markstrom mentioned something about upper management.
Yeah.
So there's definitely something that happened.
Yeah.
Right? Now, whether that rumor that I just explained to you is true or not, something did happen. And now, mysteriously, he hasn't really played much since.
Yeah, well, he's been injured.
But is that an injury?
Injured.
Yeah.
But he said he should be back by the weekend.
Hopefully.
So.
And maybe this is all bullshit and doesn't matter, right? But I wouldn't be surprised.
At some point,
gets
you have to be
summer.
A professional and move on.
I agree.
And
I mean, this is the story.
Listen,
apparently.
if you want to get a trade, come out and play your socks off. And there's going to be teams looking at you that say that Vezina caliber goalie is the missing piece for us.
I mean, but it's okay. but to counter back to you, he was playing that.
Yeah, I know. I mean, for the last couple of games, really like drive the nail in the coffin there. Convince everyone
so you've
got it back, you know? Yeah, so you can make that trade in the summer, right?
Yeah.
I don't think any deals are dead necessarily for Markstrom to Vegas, or not Vegas, sorry, Markstrom to Jersey, or even you think about Carolina maybe, but hey, man, you never know.
I agree.
I just think it's a bit blown out of proportion in that whatever happened, even if it was handled poorly, I don't think there's any ill intent there, right? I think they're honestly just trying to give Markstrom as much heads up as they can because they like and respect the guy. And it just blew up in their face a little bit because Conroy's trying to do what's best for the Flames.
Yeah.
Right? And if we're moving a guy like Markstrom and you want a player like Dawson Mercer, you're going to get a player like Dawson Mercer. And if New Jersey doesn't want to do it, fine. Well, fuck you guys. You're out of the playoffs because your goaltending is dog shit. So there you go, man. Like,
cause and effect.
These GMs, they got to pull the trigger. If you want to get something, you got to give. And you can't just say, oh, I think I'll give you my this guy. No, man, you got to give that guy. If you have players like fucking whatever his name is, Jack Hughes and whoever else New Jersey has up front, you know, Timo Meier, guys that should be actually playing better, maybe you should be counting on those guys to score other than your Dawson Mercers. Like, you kind of got to go in now and score up and get going there. But, I mean, I feel like they could have been in on a Hanifin Markstrom package, too. Wasn't that an early rumor?
I think that was another rumor, yeah.
What are you going to give for that? Holtz in a first-round pick? No. Like,
yeah,
you're giving
you're
a lot.
That.
And
yeah.
They just, hey, you didn't make it happen? Look at you now. I mean, that's why the Flames are selling, because we're already out. But New Jersey should be doing better than they are, and they're not. I mean, Flames are doing exactly what we're supposed to do. Finish fucking 17th in the NHL. Like, we're nailing it. So,
like, do you remember what our predictions were again for the wins?
Yeah, it was like 23. It was something stupid. It was hoping we'd suck.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, we're not that much ahead of that. But man, there's still 15 games to go.
How many wins are we at? Like 30?
29, I think.
29? Okay, just a sec. Well, I mean, if we said 23, that's
it's already over.
That's outrageous. I mean, that's just hoping that we tank because we're trying to get players.
Yeah.
But then
the, I don't know, New Jersey trading Toffoli.
We have 33 wins, 5 overtime losses.
30, wow. I was way off.
We're 33, 30, and 5.
Okay. Well, we're way off on our predictions.
Yeah.
Okay.
So,
well, forget that.
I mean, we're probably going to end the season with 40 wins.
Okay.
That's what I'm going to say, 500. You know what else we were wrong about? That week-long streak where we're like, yo, we're going to get 7 points. We got like three. and then it was all done, right? Fuck.
Well, I think we did more than I expected on the trade deadline. And I think, by and large, Conroy's got a good foundation to go and start building this team. So I think...
Yeah, and I think he's got players that he wants and players that want to be here.
Yeah.
And, you know, you even noticed that the players were marked on, we've moved out guys who didn't want to be here. Because I think there's a recognition that...
Which I really want
to. For some of us, we need to circle the wagons and protect our identity because... This whole, oh, I don't want to be here shit is really toxic. And if you don't, get them the hell out, right?
I totally agree.
The rest of the guys, hey, I think everyone really stepped up when those kinds of things happened because, you know, I look at Coleman's season. Coleman has the greatest plus minus by any player outside of the playoffs, I think by quite a margin. Like, he's doing really well. And I think that's a 100%. Testament to playing with Backlund, right? Backlund is...
Good character guy, good player.
And incredibly responsible defensively. Like, he's a great two-way player.
I'll give Coleman credit, too. I was pretty harsh on him for a little bit there because I thought he was just taking dumbass penalties. Yeah, but he's improved that.
I think we look...
Quite a bit.
I mean, Huberto aside, we look at guys who come in and basically think they're going to be the Messiah, right?
Yeah.
And Coleman's coming in at 4-point-some million, nearly 5. What are you really expecting from that guy? You're getting like a solid third liner, a really good second line player.
I just didn't want dumb penalties.
Yeah, but I mean, well,
any range of salary.
You know, when I think
that.
About tempering my expectations, I even thought about Hanifin for a long time. And like, my overall impression of Hanifin is that I felt like he had a lot more potential that he could have fulfilled that he never did. But then still, there's a lot of teams out there who wanted this guy.
Yeah,
he was really coveted, right? They really wanted him. And I'd look on the flip side, I look at someone like Goudreau, who hit free agency and fucking ended up in Columbus.
And okay? You don't even hear about him.
And
anymore.
This was our, I saw some, this was our like marquee guy. This was the face of the franchise. He was our boy. And now it's like, I don't know, he's done. Like, he's washed up.
It's really fascinating.
I mean, I just don't get it. Like, how these, you know, why is a player like Goudreau not coveted? Is it because there's so many places? Like, Jersey had 24 million in space and took the pass route. No thanks, Johnny.
Yeah.
But
Philly didn't want
him. Philly was in the cap nightmare at that time. But, yeah. I mean, that's just... To me, that sounds like poor advice from your agent.
Yeah, that is a I need to fire my agent mode.
Yeah, and right? this is a oh, we didn't end up closer to home. We ended up 8-hour drive. Fine, it's closer, but I mean, you're still gonna fly, and it's an hour flight versus a 4-hour flight. I guess that's a big deal. I guess it's easier.
I know, but these guys travel in.
But I mean, if we have, who cares? You know, I have relatives in Vancouver, I never see them. And that's only
maybe
an hour.
Maybe he's closer to his relatives.
I mean,
maybe he's closer to his relatives.
Yeah, I get it. But
maybe
I mean,
you need to be
Columbus,
more of a family.
You're on the
man.
Road half the time.
Maybe you need to be.
Maybe
a
you
man.
Go play. No, Columbus is still in the West, so you're not going out there to play New York a lot or New Jersey. You're going there once a season, just like the Flames. I mean, it's just dumb.
Yeah,
and you look at Huberto coming in on the flip side and just sucking, like. I kind of like what we're doing, and we're buying low and seeing, you know, we're panning for gold here, boy. It's like we got a lot of rocks in there, and we're shaking pretty hard, but hopefully some nuggets squirt out of this one. How about that for the bang-bang analogies, hey? Squirting nuggets.
Yeah, someone clued in at the 45-minute mark and the 20-minute mark. Maybe thinking this is a completely different podcast.
But seriously, I like that approach much better.
Dude, this is the shit that I've been waiting for years. So yeah. You don't need to tell me this.
And this is an opportunity for us to get guys that we think are going to do well in the league.
Yeah.
And maybe it's an opportunity for players to perform as well. So
there's going to be some, I mean, as to your point too, on the salary cap, like we're going to be kind of etching the lower bands of that.
I don't know, man.
I don't think well, I mean, the retention on Hanifin's done after this.
Yeah. Oh, right? Yeah. No, but I mean,
like, we're not going to be like, we're going to have
still
cap
got
space.
Huberto.
No, I know.
Still got Kadri. You still got Uyghur.
I know, but dude, we got, I mean, every team's got at least 3-4 high paid guys.
Yeah, well, right? We're not need any to different. Have high paid guys who are skilled guys.
Well, so far, really, it's only Huberto that's not pulling his weight.
Yeah, Uyghurs had a better season.
Well, Uyghur should be good still for a while.
Yeah.
Right? In theory. Kadri's probably got another 2-3 good years left in him. Maybe 3. Maybe. But Huberto, like, anything is better than what we're seeing. So, if anything, there's nowhere to go but up, hopefully. I don't know what the point total is versus last season, but, I mean, I'm kind of looking this as we have, relatively speaking, a lot of cap room to play with. We got a lot of a lot of young assets to, you know, shift around if we need to trade or whatever to develop. And we have a good system. We have a good farm full of players as well. That can, they've all, in fairness, have come up and have done pretty good. By and large,
yeah,
right, and a lot of them earned a place on the team, like Azeri,
yeah,
right,
yeah. I think Pospisil.
Yeah. I think Pelletier is really
Kevin
just
Rooney.
I think Pelletier is maybe one more call up away from like solidifying something.
But
like,
these guys, these Pelletier, Coronado, you know, those kind of bubble guys,
yeah,
they struck me as the most skilled guys
for sure.
Who should it? But there's part of me that thinks, listen, your Zaris, your Pospisils. They know that the skill isn't going to cut it, and they have to live and die on that rink every single night.
Yep.
Whereas the Coronados of the world might have felt like, I'm walking into the first power play, first line.
Yeah, maybe.
I've made it, and then you fucking didn't make it, buddy. Like, you had 2 points in 11 games. You are back down.
Yep.
And it hasn't really shaken that. And that's just, is that an attitude thing? Is that a size thing? Is that a fit thing? Is that a bad luck thing?
Just not ready yet. They have a finite amount of time, right?
But well, there needs to be a time when the player seizes his opportunity.
I agree. And I like Coronado had a good game before the Washington game. He had a good game.
Dude, we're beyond having a good game. We need to be having lighten the lamp
like
here
he
a
needs
bit.
He needs to consistently put in a good performance. Like
no,
Pospisil
no,
does every game in
goals.
Zeri.
Like we need some goals.
But that's part of that. Good performance for him is scoring, assisting, setting up, whatever.
Like, he actually needs to perform statistically. We need some points, because I just think you're not doing yourself any favors by sucking this much, and you need to find a way to get the puck in the net. And it's easy for you in the A. You need to translate that to the NHL. And we're just not having success with that, with those guys. But, I mean, by and large, the other guys we've brought up, it's been successful. I mean, look at how Shillington's been reintegrated and he's returned. Now, granted, he was an NHL player before he went away, but hey, a guy who took nothing for granted, seized every moment, took every opportunity, and you're a solidified, probably top pairing guy on a team that really realistically probably doesn't have a top pairing. So, but that's the kind of opportunities you have to take, and I mean. I just look at Coronado's season and it's squandered. It's
for
wasted
sure.
opportunity.
I agree with you on that.
And it's frustrating to see that happen. And Pelletier, you know, he's coming off that shoulder surgery. I think next year is a more valid time to assess him. But I mean, wow, the amount of opportunities players have had this year.
It's a dream for all these young guys.
Yeah.
Right, there aren't many teams in the NHL that are doing that outside of like San Jose and Chicago. And
you can't let the dream die because you don't perform.
You can still make
it,
guys.
You need to channel everything you got to stay on that team.
Look how long it took Giordano to break the NHL.
Dude, that's a one in a million.
No, I know.
Man. That's like
you got to give him the feel good stories, man.
But that's that's an attitude thing. That's a never say die thing. That's a I'm gonna be here and I'm gonna never take anything for granted and I'm not going to, you know, ever regret any chance I'm given. Even though, like the Flames, we gave up on him and then we got him back, right?
Yep.
Gio obviously didn't hold a grudge against us, and I mean a guy like Coronado, I don't know if he thinks the same thing.
We'll see.
I hope I'm wrong, but I mean, man.
Well, he's got a minimum
a couple more seasons
to go.
I need a new whipping boy now that Hanifin's gone. Well, this guy is it.
He's got a couple more seasons to go to show it.
Because Huberto's just the obvious choice. I can't do that.
Well, like, I mean, you're picking on the kids, and that's very fitting of you to pick on someone younger and smaller than you.
Yeah. There's no 3-year-olds around right now. So,
what
like,
the fuck?
But I would. I think, I think that about covers it. Like,
yeah, I think we're good.
That's all I got. I mean, you got anything else?
No, I'm all good.
Yeah. Okay, so I guess we'll we got a week off, go on some holidays, and then come back, try to eke out a couple more before the season ends, and then something special for episode 100.
Sounds good.
That's it. So thank you so much for listening. We really appreciate that, as always. Again, feel free to reach out. You know how to find us, FlamesFanCast on Twitter, FlamesFanCast@gmail.com. And hey, have yourselves a good morning, great afternoon, wonderful night. Bye-bye.